It is Kyle and Bruss with no Kyle. Alex Strofe in for Kyle. Joining us on the Yuengling guest hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, not officially in Wisconsin. DG Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA, enjoy responsibly. Is Jason Will, the host of Willie and Taos. Jason, what's going on?
I was wondering what was wrong with our social media that we had a Kyle and Bruss promo that I saw, and then I saw it was Bruss and Strofe. I was like, did they mess up the graphic? What happened? And then I realized he's still honeymooning. So we get the honeymoon period with Strofe. Lucky us.
That we do get.
Lucky you.
Jason, Sean Eichhorst joined Wilde and Tausch, and that's for full view on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. You can go back to their show as well and watch it live and see their whole discussion of everything they talked about today. I found it interesting when Tausch was asking about, you know, Barry's a football guy, football. And he talked about how he met all of the coaches, and he talked a lot about more about family than football in the couple times he's talked to Fickell. Now, I know you're not, which is fine. I try and look at things differently as much as I can. But when it comes to Wisconsin football, that's like the only team I really let myself be a fan of. So as a football fan of the Wisconsin football team, I wanted to hear more about football. And I don't know. I don't know if you can help me there. You've been through a lot of press conferences, interviews. What was he trying to get across with, like, getting to know the, like, Fickell from a personal standpoint? Like, he's been here for God knows how long. All I care about is winning, not, like, I care that he has a healthy family and whatnot, but that's not my care as a fan.
No, it's definitely not your care, and nor should it be. I mean, results matter. And look, I don't want to speak for Sean. I don't really know him that well. But that struck me as, I'm not painting myself into any corner whatsoever on my commitment to this head coach. I see the same schedule that you guys do. I expect us to win more games than we did last year. All those kinds of things. Like, he's not, like, I would think, and again, I don't know this. This is purely speculative. But I'm guessing that he doesn't know if he wants Luke Fickell to be his coach anymore or not. So he's got this year clearly, and then we'll see how it goes. But, you know, there's been plenty of instances where, whether you're an athletic director or an NFL GM or an NBA GM, or what have you, where you inherit a coach from the previous administration and you end up working great with him and you really like him and you're a good fit and you have your football program or whatever the person is coaching has a ton of success, and you get together in a way that you don't have any shared history, right? I mean, it's not Sean Eichhorst's time at Wisconsin in no way, shape, or form overlapped before today or before he got the official announcement of him being hired. It never overlapped with Luke Fickell. So he doesn't know Luke Fickell. Certainly doesn't know him to the degree that he knew Barry Alvarez or Brett Bielema or Paul Christ. And so I look at this as, you know, I'm not going to say anything that paints me into a corner. I mean, do I think he's going to have plenty of conversations about football and where it's at? Yes. Otherwise, they wouldn't have hired him. He's not there just to talk about, hey, how's your family? But I kind of thought like he did what he needed to do in a conversation with obviously an established radio program that it seems like a fair number of people listen to. And other than that Zoom he had done with select media, had he talked to very many other people on the record? I think he just was cautious about what he was going to say about his head coach and the situation that they're in.
Jason, I asked you that question on purpose, and you made me feel so much better. So much better. I needed that perspective because you've been through this. And I can't take my fan brain out. So you helped my fan brain go away with the answer to that question. So thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, look, again, I don't know what the future holds with him.
But well, yeah, I mean, what's interesting is the timing here is like, you know, Ed Policy was like, I don't want lame duck. Obviously, this is different because you can't, you know, really say that in this situation.
Not a bad parallel to draw, though.
It's not a bad parallel to draw at all, actually.
Chatting with Jason.
Now, the difference.
Jason go, please.
I didn't know he was going to go.
Great to have you on board and on the air, Strofe. I love it.
Yep,
good to be here. No, all I was going to say is the only difference is Ed Policy was here for 14 years, so he was more than familiar with all the people here, as opposed to Sean, who obviously was not here from whatever. What did he leave? 2011 for Miami, and just returned, you know, 15 years later. So there's not that institutional knowledge that Ed Policy had of Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst and obviously Russ.
Correct.
Paul.
I just finished my freshman year, and he probably has no idea how, like, I have.
Oh, he might know who you are then.
No, but he doesn't know anything about my family, so it makes sense.
Well, when you meet him, I'm sure he'll ask.
Would he say, as Barry Alvarez once famously said, who the hell is about what Ben Bruss thinks?
He might not say it yet, but I'm sure he will at some point.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure they all have. They all have. Jason, do you think being a Wisconsin native matters? Like, it seems like that was a big selling point about Sean Eichhorst. Do you think it should matter as much as it seemingly has?
Look, I think what matters, and you know, we had, which has to be the first time in our history, like, I love that we had Riley join us in person, Riley Yauch, who's a much more recent graduate of the University of Wisconsin. I didn't particularly like it when he said he was a sophomore when Luke Fickell got the job, and he said that to me, who was a freshman when Barry Alvarez got the job. But we needed somebody with a younger perspective. I mean, Tausch obviously played in the program and is a Wisconsin guy. I am a Wisconsin guy. I graduated from there. I grew up here. I've lived here my whole life. I think what matters is, I think you want somebody who is not A, here to make it a stepping stone job, and B, is someone who understands the Wisconsin, not only the Wisconsin idea, as we talk about at the university, but just the Wisconsin ethos, like what it means. And that doesn't mean he's going to succeed, by the way, right? That is only one of many boxes that I personally, if I was at the University of Wisconsin in the hiring capacity, would want. I want someone who understands the history, someone who understands the challenges, someone who understands Wisconsinites and Wisconsin kids and what it means to be from here. Just like I would think, you know, at the University of Minnesota, you're looking for the same thing, even though I don't think Roy, your boat guy, has quite the same level of connectivity at Minnesota, but he's just like Barry Alvarez, was not a Wisconsin guy. He went to Nebraska. He coached at Iowa. He coached at Notre Dame. Like, he wasn't a Wisconsin guy, but he became one, and now he's a Wisconsin icon. So I don't think it's a prerequisite. I do think it's an advantage, but it doesn't amount to a hill of beans if you're not good at the other parts, like making sure that not only can you get the requisite amount of money that you need to field a competitive football team plus other sports in today's NIL era, but also that you invest that money wisely, because if you get all that money and invest it poorly, you're no better off than if you hadn't gotten the money to begin with. So all that stuff matters, but the fact that he's a Wisconsin guy, the fact that he's worked here before, I do think is a positive, but it is only one thing, and he's got to do a lot of other things that people that aren't from Wisconsin could also do. He's just got to do them well.
Talking with Jason Wilde here on Kyle and Bruss with Strofe in for Kyle on the Gangling Guest Hotline. Jason, Micah Parsons had some of his teammates out by him as they were doing some extra training and getting them to prepare maybe a little bit differently than they have in the past. Has Micah, is he just looked at, I don't know, like differently by the organization more than just the player? Like, I feel like this was not a narrative about him in Dallas, whereas almost like he wasn't a leader. It seems like he's checked off all the boxes of what you could ask for since he's been here, other than staying healthy, which maybe isn't on him.
Yeah, Ben, I'd agree. I think he's done a great job of that, and I don't think that that was his reputation. Now, again, he's a younger player there, right? Like, last year was his fifth season, right? If my math is correct, his rookie year was 2021. So, you know, you do have to grow into that role, and there's certainly other strong personalities in Dallas, but there were certain, you know, you can see it, Tristro, if you've seen this on Twitter and wherever else, like there's a lot of Cowboys fans who view him with a much more negative, through a much more negative lens. And I would argue that as of now, he has done everything right, including the way he has embraced a leadership role and he's shepherding these young guys. Does he lay it on a bit thick at times, like with LVN? Like, I think he authentically likes Lucas Van Ness. The idea of arguing that he could be eclipsing him as their best defensive player, that seems a little bit hyperbolic to me, right? But the bottom line is that to this point, and he hasn't even been here a year, it'll be a year on August 28th, you know, I feel like he's kind of done everything right. You know, he's certainly played at a very high level. No one can question his work ethic or how hard he plays every time he's on the field, which I don't know if there are people that question that in Dallas or not. But the leadership role he's taken on, like he, you know, Kenny Clark was like a god to these guys. Like they just, I mean, he was so perfect in that role. He was certainly not as flamboyant or demonstrative or just as effervescent as Micah Parsons is. He was a little more laid back and that kind of cool. But, the guys just loved him and had everybody over, all the defensive linemen over to his house every week and everything else. So someone needed to step into that void. And I think we've seen from Micah and from his brother that they did not think very highly of the guy that was kind of the next in line to ascend to that role, which was Rashawn Gary. Didn't seem like they thought very highly of his effort level or how much he played or maybe how they felt he was maybe not 100% authentic with some of the stuff. So as of now, I think we look at Mike Parsons and say he's doing everything right. Now, he has to sustain that, though, right? And what is he like when things aren't going well? What is he like when maybe there are differences of opinion? I don't know. We haven't seen that yet because he was injured for most of the adversity. Let's not forget, this team was 9-3-1 at the time of his injury. So if they're struggling and there's things going wrong and the offense isn't playing well or whatever else, you know, that'll be a test to see if he is still the same guy that we're all looking at and really with admiration on how he's handled himself since he got here.
Jason, last thing for me. I knew I was going to be talking to you today, and after seeing some news over the weekend, I've been itching to ask you this question since. Are you ready?
No, but go ahead.
I saw that two of my favorite players, who happen to be two of your favorite guys to talk to in the locker room, Evan Williams and Jaden Reed, both got engaged over the weekend. Both of them did. Who are you more likely to A, buy a wedding gift for, and B, get a wedding invite from?
Well, neither one of those guys are going to invite me to their wedding, and I don't want them to. I have great relationships with both of those guys. You're right. I think very highly of them. I do think it's important, and I obviously there are some guys that I have friendships with now that are authentic friendships now that they're retired. But I feel like there's a danger with.
Are you trying to make him break the journalism code,
yes,
Strofe?
I am. Yes.
Well, I think I'm going to be more. I'm going to use this as a teachable moment, because I think
you
that
think
there
I'm going to learn.
No, not believe me, not for you. I think there's a lot of young people who kind of think, all right, we're cool. I was that way too, man. Like now, Antonio Freeman and I would say our friends now, Dorsey Levins and a few others, but I would say at the time, like we were both the same age and we were kind of in the same place in our lives. But there was stuff that happened where you got to be critical. And, you know, in the case of those two guys you mentioned, there really haven't been, right? Like Jaden Reed, no matter what Gabe Neitzel says, has been a damn productive player for them in the 2 years before he had the broken collarbone. And then obviously last year, he was off to a pretty strong start, and I think he finished pretty well considering how much time he missed. And I think Evan Williams is one of the rising stars in this league, certainly on this team. And I thought he had a breakout season last year. But yeah, I don't foresee. I will say I'll be happy to dispense marital advice and parenting advice if they were ever to come to me, because I'm so much older than them now. But no, I don't.
So who are you happier for?
You guys know the rule, right? Like, I mean, not that Ben has to worry about it. He's married now, but you're going to get married. Like, I don't go to weddings that the girls aren't invited to. So it's a great way to say no without having to officially say no. So Jesse still holds that against me. But I'm happy for both of them. I wish them nothing but love and success and happiness down the road.
There it is. Jason Wilde on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. We appreciate the time. I'll talk to you with Kyle on Thursday.
Johnny Hedge.
Don't listen to him.
I got to tell you, for the way you build that question,
it stunk.
It was such a colossal disappointment. Like, I'm just blown away at how ridiculous
this is. Your guy. Weekly Wilde guy.
Yeah, he is my guy. I love him dearly, but that was, hey.
Wait, so if I'm not inviting the girls, I shouldn't invite you?
Correct. No, you might want the invite.
Do you want the invites? Because you're on my list. Just the girls aren't.
Yeah, no, probably not.
Okay.
I'll still get you a nice gift.
Got it.
But save the invite for
I'm still waiting on my next gift.
You want. I didn't get invited to yours either.
No, I did. But you said on the air, don't, because of the girls. Same situation right here.
Oh, okay. All right. Good.
good.
Just invite Jesse in my place.
No.
Put him right next to me.
All right. Bye.
See you, Jason.
All right. Gotta go. See you. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde.